Scripture for you for this evening comes from James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is in sin.
So, tonight I'm going to speak on the topic of marital bliss. And you guys know that this is where I speak from a lot of times. And this is, my head is on marriage. Karen and I, today, 40 years ago today, were married. And my dad says she's the best choice I ever made. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Kara has supported me. She's made me think. She's helped me grow. I'm not going to preach about that all night. Anyway, I could. I'm very appreciative of my wife. And so tonight, I want to share some things I think from Scripture that will be helpful for husbands and wives. Things for you to think about. And for those of you who your spouses are no longer with us, I want you to remember the good things of your marriage and times when your spouses did these things. I think it's good to remember those things, and it's healing. All right, so the first thing I want to go to is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not become bitter against them. I could preach on Ephesians 5:25 all night, how we're to love like Christ loved. He gave himself up for the church. Too many times we think about the passionate, romantic love as what love is. But love is more than that. Love is when your wife gets up in the middle of the night to feed the babies so you can sleep and be able to go to work the next day. Love is when there's a mess that the dog's created on the floor and you have a gag reflex and she cleans it up. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that and who might have the gag reflex, but you know, love is doing things for your spouse that you don't want to do, but you do it anyway because you care, because you want to make things right. And so when the Scripture says that Christ gave himself up for the church and that, guys, we're supposed to have that kind of love for our wives, if you think you're just going to get married and everything's going to be wonderful and you're not going to have to put anything into this, I got another story for you. It requires everything. It requires your heart, your head, your mind. It requires you to give yourself up for your family. It requires you to love them as your own bodies. When the Scripture talks about the two become one flesh, there's more than just a physical thing there. There's the concept that she is me and I am her. We are working together. There's the concept that I would rather hurt than her. If there's something going on, I protect her. I do what I need to do to make sure that she understands that she is me and I am her. And you know, that's a challenge for some of us guys. And we get angry when things don't go the way we think they should go. Or we get upset when you know, the marriage is not going well, or she has different ideas than we have. So when we come to Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives, and do not become bitter against them. You know, it's easy to hold a grudge. It's easy to say, man, why did she do that? If she hadn't have done that, we'd be here. Just saying, she might be able to say that 100 times about you. So you might want to think about that. But you're supposed to be on the same team. So bitterness is not supposed to enter into this. Husbands, love your wives. Secondly, we need to talk with our wives about spiritual matters. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 14:35. You know, this is in a passage that's talking about speaking in tongues. And apparently there were some women at that time who had that capability. And the instruction was for them not to speak with that ability. But in 1 Corinthians 14:35, it says, if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Okay? I want to be sure that you understand that when we have Bible class and women ask questions, that's not a problem. When we're singing together and women use their voice, that's not a problem. Make sure you understand the context of what was going on in 1 Corinthians 14. What I do want you to understand is that if there's a biblical issue or a question, you need to be the kind of husband that your wife can come talk to you about it. Oh, and guess what? How many women were Christians and their husbands were not? And they were more mature than their husbands and came to Christ because of their wives. You need to have that, be able to talk about things. Maybe my wife wants me to learn something and she asked me a question about something she already knows. And it's possible that Kara might know something that I don't. It's possible. We need to be able to talk with one another about spiritual things. Guys, don't become mansplainers. Go look it up. Okay? We're supposed to work together. All right, now we're going to come to the almighty difficult word, subjection. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5:22. Wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. 1 Peter 3:1, in the same way, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won over without a word by the behavior of the wives. 1 Peter 3:5, for in this way, the holy women of former times, who hoped in God, also used to adorn themselves, being subject to their own husbands. You guys know who Vashti was? You know, there's a book called Esther. It's not called Vashti, it's called Esther. Vashti was the wife of the king. And the king had a 7-day plus party for all his nobles and princes and anybody else. And it was lawful for them to drink. And boy, did they drink. And he was showing off all his wealth and everything. Vashti had a party for the women of these men. And her drunk husband calls her out to come and show herself off before these men. I've heard several things about that. One is that she was many months pregnant and didn't want to come out. I don't know. One is that he wanted her to show herself off more than was appropriate. We'll just say it that way. Whatever the reason, I don't blame her for not wanting to come out in front of a bunch of drunken bums. Okay? I don't care if they were princes or not. She didn't want to come out there. Well, Alan, what are you talking about, this subjection thing? You know, if I tell my wife, hey, let's go rob a bank together, you know, Bonnie and Clyde style, and she says, no, I don't want to do that. Well, you're not in subjection. No, that's not what that's about. Who is she in subjection to as a Christian first? God. And she's supposed to live her life according to Christian principles. Okay? So, you know, Vashti, I don't think we can bring any blame on her for what she did. And there's probably other situations in Scripture that we could look at. When it says, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, you know, I want my wife to be in subjection to me as to the Lord, because His ways are perfect. And if she treats me the way that she treats our Lord and Savior in her obedience, and I'm the man I'm supposed to be in the things that I ask of her, then we're going to have a pretty good setup. I also go back to point one, husbands, love your wives. I need to respect that she has a brain and that she has life experiences and that we can talk about things that we disagree about. Ultimately, guys, you have a responsibility to lead your house towards God. And if you're telling your wife to do things and lording it over her, you're not washing her feet. Where'd that come from, Jennings? What did the Lord do on the night that He was betrayed? That's right. Because He wanted them to learn servanthood. And ultimately, being a husband is servanthood. You're serving God. You're serving your wife. You're serving your family. You're making sure their needs are met. And so be careful with these passages that talk about your wife being in subjection. You know, there might be times when she's trying to do what she thinks you want her to do, and you just haven't really hit the same wavelength yet. You need to talk about those things. But ladies, in the end, if it's not against God, and your husband, whether he's smart or not, makes a decision about something, that's the way the household goes. Who's going to be held responsible for that? He is on Judgment Day. You know, my boss at work frustrates me sometimes. He is not a people person. He makes decisions based on numbers. He makes decisions based on things that I don't agree with. But if I want to get paid on Friday, I better do what he says, as long as it's not against my Lord and Savior. That's just the end of it. So wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands, as to the Lord. Be subject to their husbands in everything. There is a purpose, though. Women can win their husbands over to the Lord, according to 1 Peter 3:1. You know, there are times when Kira sets an example for me and changes my mind about things. Imagine that. My mind gets changed about something. I can't believe that. She helps me towards heaven. All right. Ladies, love your husbands. You have a responsibility to love your husband. Not in today's world. You don't have to love your husband, do you? Titus 2:4. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. This is a role that the more mature women in the church are supposed to do with the younger ladies. Teach them to love their husbands, to love their children. You know, the more mature ladies, if you're going to teach that, you got to do it, right? It's real easy when you've been married for 40 years or longer to say, well, you know, we've had that. We're done with that. I don't need to do that anymore. We've had our kids. We got our house. Why do I need to do that? Because you still have a responsibility to teach the younger ones how to do that. And the love that you're teaching is that servant kind of love. You're helping those young wives to be the proper wives for their families. Okay? Titus 2:5 says to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but not loving your husband is a quick way to dishonor the word of God. I'll just leave that one to sit with you and you can chew on that one. All right, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. This is a discussion about the physical relationship between a man and a woman. 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 2. But because of sexual immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise, the wife also to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement, for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Kara and I dated for 5 years before we got married. 5 long years. And I told her, I said, I can't take care of me yet, much less me and you. So when I get a job, we'll get married. And the Lord blessed me with a job about a month out of graduation. And we got married the next month. And 40 years later, here we are. We weren't married yet. I didn't have a right to her, and she didn't have a right to me. That was a long 5 years. We were engaged for 2.5. For young people, that's a long time. Can you imagine what it would be like for a husband and wife if they had not had relations for a while that they were used to having? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things on TV these days that tempt people, or social media. I saw something this past week on a marriage fidelity site, and this lady was asking, well, you know, if I'm monogamous, if I don't stray from my marriage, but I think of other guys to get turned on, is that okay? And I just wanted to scream, no, it's not okay. Because it's not a very long step to go looking for other guys. That's not the right thing to be thinking about. Guys, we get hit with messages regarding sex every day. They're in commercials. They're in TV. They're in social media. They're everywhere. And, you know, you hear guys will say to their wives, well, I just saw that on TV. She'd do that for him. Why won't you do that for me? Our logic really gets messed up by this stuff. Okay? So we don't want temptation to come into the marriage. Now, there are times when there's illness. There are times when maybe one person is not in the right mindset. There are other times. Can you think of a better time for the husband and wife to pray together than those times? Can you come to an agreement? Guys, if you know your wife isn't feeling well, can you just leave her alone? Or can you just tell her, hey, I know you're not feeling well. You know, let's talk about this later. Or, hey, how about we try this? What did the doctor say about that? Ladies, I know ladies don't have the libido that guys do. I would encourage you to work on that bond with your husband. That spiritual bond. That closeness. I know we're straightforward and we don't think about other things sometimes, and we like to bowl through things and we don't like the fluffy stuff sometimes. But it's important that you hang with us and have patience. Because I believe most men, most Christian men, want what's best for their wives. And it's important for you to speak up to your husband and tell him how you feel. You're allowed to say, you know what, I don't like this, I do like that. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to feel that that relationship is not wrong. What's the first thing that happens in the garden after Adam and Eve sin? God has to clothe them both because their minds are different. Who did that? Was it wrong for them to feel the way they did before their sin? Satan messed with them. And so Satan has entered into a lot of marriages. We need to purge what he thinks out of marriage. And we need to go back to what God said. And God said the relationship with a man and a woman is good. God designed it that way. So I'm not a marriage counselor, but I remember Kara telling me, it was probably 10 or 15 years ago, we had some friends and they were having a rough time, and she goes, man, he's sleeping on the couch every night. That's not good for their marriage. It's not a good thing. It's a quick way to end a marriage. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Man, there's a lot to unpack in this passage. First, live with your wives in an understanding way. I think differently than Kara does about things. Ask her, you know, we'll be picking colors, and I'll say, I like this, and she'll go, oh, no, I like this. We haven't agreed on a design choice in our house. So eventually she just either lets me have my way, or I just say, I don't care, just do what you want to do, okay? We work it out. We think differently. When it came to raising our kids, we thought differently about how they should be punished. We think differently. You know, I have a set of priorities. She has a set of priorities. We work on those things. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. This doesn't say, guys, you have to understand your wives. Wow, I'd like to read that book, okay? It says, live with them in an understanding way. Try to figure out what they're thinking. Try to understand their point. And again, you might be enlightened. It's a strong possibility that you will be enlightened. Live with them in an understanding way. As with someone weaker, since she is a woman. This is not a shot against females. Okay? What did we read earlier? They're supposed to be in subjection to us. That already puts them in a position that's not as strong. Guys, you better consider your position on these things and what they're trying to say. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. She's the same as you before God when it comes to salvation. Show her honor. Treat her that way. And guess what, guys? There's a carrot and there's a stick. The stick is, you better treat her with honor, you better live with her in an understanding way, or your prayers are going to be hindered. The things that you ask God about that are important to you, he's not going to listen as favorably as he might otherwise. You want him to listen to you, the carrot? Treat your wife right. Live with patience. Don't assume that this is what she's thinking. Man, that one's burned me a few times. I know what she's thinking. Don't assume. Don't bully your way into it. I have a friend at work who's been, he's wanted to retire for about a year. And he's, you know, figured out all the finances and he's talked to his wife and they've gone back and forth on this, and you know, it's taken him a year to finally get her to say, okay, you can retire, right? You know, it's good for him to say, well, I've been earning money all these years, I'm done, I'm retiring, forget what you think. He didn't bully her, okay? Don't bully. Show her honor. These things will help you in your marriage. These things will help you in understanding more about leadership. These things will help you to be the person that you need to be and to have joy in your life with your wife. So, I'm going to come back to the beginning. Christ died for the church, that's you and me, as Christians. And he asks us to do these things. If you want to call them commandments, call them commandments. This is the way he wants us to live. This evening, if you've not been living that way and you need to, we'd love to pray and help you. If you need to become a Christian so that you can do things the right way, his way, we would love to baptize you into Christ this evening and help you rise to walk in newness of life. If we can help in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.